Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you to Nikos and Olga Bornozis for this opportunity. My name is Gregory Pelecanos. I'm senior partner of the Athens-based law firm Ballas Pelecanos & Associates. I have the honor of monitoring the energy panel. Earlier today at lunch, we heard Minister Stathakis, so in a sense, the fact that we share the same subject shows how important it is to the country. At the same time, however, he did manage to take advantage of being first in the queue and dealing with some of our issues. So we'll do as much as we can. To say that the energy sector is complex and is facing multifaceted issues is an understatement. And, of course, covering all these issues in 30 minutes is a challenge in itself. From talking to our distinguished panelists, I have come to the conclusion that there are three very important constraints which affect all energy players in Greece. First, as Minister Stathakis mentioned, environmental and climatic change politics driving restructuring and diversification. Secondly, and very importantly, security of supply, both for Europe and for Greece. And this must be taken into account, into consideration, in a broader economic and geopolitical context, which affects, of course, our region and could be seen also as a drive towards energy integration and the benefits that that creates. Thirdly, the cost of energy. We're all talking about development, but if energy is expensive, development is not going to happen. Within these parameters, I have the honor of presenting our panel, Mr. Gregory Steriulis, CEO of Hellenic Petroleum, the largest Greek conglomerate, ranging from refining, petrochemicals, advisory and design, trade, and also participation in other energy forms, electricity, natural gas, and renewables. Mr. Emmanuel Panayotakis, Chairman and CEO of the E, the third largest Greek conglomerate, which ranges from mining, generation, power generation, transmission, distribution, and supply of electricity through all possible forms or resources, lignite, hydro, oil and gas fired, and renewables. Mr. Ricard Skoufias, is the country manager of the Trans-Adriatic Pipeline. He is currently implementing the largest private foreign direct investment in Greece. And from the financial community, we welcome Mr. Pablo Escondrillas, managing director of Citi Europe Middle East for Powers and Utilities, and Mr. Arnaud Jessouen, director at BNP Paribas Corporate Finance based in Paris, responsible for Europe, CIS, Israel, with a significant track record in deal portfolio in Greece, in the region and in Greece. So permit me to start with Mr. Ricard Skoufias, country manager for TAP. Mr. Skoufias, to many, TAP was an impossible project. It runs through three regions, 30 municipalities, and affects 16,000 landowners from whom you had to negotiate, with whom you had to negotiate and obtain permits. It's no secret that the project had ups and downs. What is the secret of success in investing in Greece?
Right. Thank you. Is it on? Yeah. Thank you for that.
A little bit higher the...
I'm not entirely sure that I will be able to offer a very short and conclusive answer to that. But let me share a few observations. What I was thinking was maybe to tell you a little bit what is the project, why is it important, and of course the keys to success, at least share a little bit what has been our experience in Greece. And I think, as a matter of fact, that you will have some beautiful imagery to accompany my words, so I think that there is a video that you can click on. But let me just then address very briefly the first question. So what is TAP? TAP is an almost 900-kilometer-long pipeline which connects the Caspian to Europe. This is part of what is often referred to as the Southern Gas Corridor, the fourth gas corridor into Europe. Today we have North Africa, we have the North Sea, and we have Russia. TAP and the Southern Gas Corridor will constitute the fourth corridor. So we are doing this in a consortium with some global companies, BP, SOCAR, Snam, Fluxys, Enagás, and Axpo. So what we will do is, in the initial phase, to bring in 10 billion cubic meters of new gas from new sources into Europe, and this can, in the future, be expanded up to 20 billion cubic meters. So the question is, then, why is this important? Well, it's important for a number of different reasons. It is important for Europe because it plays to the very heart of the European energy strategy for diversification. And it is important for Greece for a number of factors. I think one of the key factors, which is very relevant here today, is of course that amongst what often is a bit of doom and gloom, this signals very strong investor confidence. We are investing millions and billions in Greece. It has been referred to previously during the day, but it puts Greece as a protagonist, if not the protagonist, in one of the biggest geostrategic energy developments which is currently ongoing. And of course, it generates job opportunities, it generates economic stimulus, it generates tax revenues. So moving then to the third element, so what is actually our experience then being a major investor in Greece? Well, suffice to say, you cannot build 550 kilometers of infrastructure and not be affected by the socioeconomic realities which are currently afflicting Greece. There is an element of volatility, and of course that affects us as well. I don't need to tell this audience that predictability and lack of predictability is anathema to business. But what I want to point out is that our experience has actually been overwhelmingly positive. We have obtained all our licenses, all our permits. We have obtained them all on time. We are constructing the project we have started this year in earnest in Greece. We are constructing the project on schedule. We have had what can only be characterized as excellent collaboration with the Greek government and preceding governments. I think one of the evidences of this is you may have seen that even the Prime Minister only 2 weeks ago came and actually visited our construction site, which we were very honored in Alexandroupolis. We have concluded a robust investment framework in the host government agreement that has been ratified by the Hellenic Parliament. And I think that our story is a success story about investment in Greece. Of course, we have, as we like to think of it, we've had to earn that. We have conducted the biggest ever environmental and social impact assessment done in Greece. We have spent unprecedented resources interacting locally to inform about the project. What are we doing? How are we doing it? When are we doing it? We have found incredibly good partners. The majority of the major contracts that we have in Greece for both construction works and the line pipes have gone to Greek companies. Not because they are Greek and local, but because they have come out as the winners in a very rigid procurement process under European procurement rules, where they were the qualitatively and cost-wise best options. And of course, we're spending a lot of resource working with the local communities. Gregory, you mentioned 30 municipalities. So I think that my key message as one of the biggest investors in the country is that we've actually had a very positive experience.
So preparation, good preparation, and engaging the local communities. You also mentioned that the TAP diversifies Greece's resources, reducing dependency on current suppliers. It also, I assume, decreases CO2 emissions. It's more in line with the Paris Accord and the Europe 2030 and 2050 objectives. So, Mr. Stergiulis, do you feel any pressure about all this change of direction from fossil fuel to alternative, sustainable, renewable energy? You are on record for having stated in an interview that you want to transform your company from a fossil fuel company into an energy conglomerate.
Thank you, Gregory. First of all, I would like to thank all of you for the excellent presentation and discussions. I'm sorry I did not follow last year's conference, and I think I'll re-examine my intentions next year. From this point of view, allow me to say that it is an honor for me personally, I think for all of us, to present ourselves in front of such a distinguished audience, and most important, not to state things, but to share our ideas with you, because to our opinion, attracting money to the country, attracting investors to the country, is in fact sharing plans, sharing ideas, and making a common future. We do not want people who want to invest in a year's or 2 years' time and take their money back and disappear. We want partners, but partners mean sharing dreams, sharing plans. Hellenic Petroleum is a group of companies, around 32 companies, and as Gregory mentioned before, we operate on several areas. Although our title, Hellenic Petroleum, means mainly petroleum, in fact, the first item I would like to share with you is that today's energy mixture is not alone as it used to be in the future. It's not isolated. Transportation fuels are gasoline, diesel, gas, or whatever form it may have, electricity, and why not hydrogen cells, etc. So what we knew up to now is changing. It is a changing mixture of the future. So no company will survive by providing one form of energy. This is the reason in Hellenic Petroleum we already got into electricity production, natural gas, petrochemicals, whatever you can imagine of, and our plan is to transform the company into an energy provider of the future. We usually say, please do imagine the retail station of the future. How will it look like after 10 years' time? What it will sell? Liquid fuels? Electricity? We have no idea. But unfortunately, in our business, the idea of today has to be implemented 10 years later. So what is going to be the energy products of 2026 has to be designed today. Hellenic Petroleum has managed through all this unique experience of the capital controls to present a unique robustness. We managed through all this crisis to have the fund, to have the money to survive, to change, transform the company from an internal consumption company to an exporter, and only simply an exporter. If you look at the map, you will see that we operate in the Southeast Mediterranean, competing against refineries that do not have all these costs we have regarding energy consumption, regarding maintenance, regarding salaries, regarding many, many things. But we manage. we managed to compete efficiently. To our calculation, it is the Fuels Europe calculation, we have a shortage of $4 per barrel, believe it or not, against the Middle East refineries and the Indian refineries operating in the same area. And taking into account the not very good economic results of India and China, we have a lot of fuels coming to Mediterranean, meaning that we have a performance better than our competitors. And this is the reason all our three refineries operate in full capacity, and we wish we had some more capacity to exploit. Having this high competitive area, allow me to say the pros and cons and why we need you as investors to plan our future. What will be the companies of the future consist of? What will be the essence, the pillars of the companies of the future? First of all is globalization. Gentlemen and ladies, whatever happens in the U.S. is readily transferred to all over the world. Any technology innovation, any new things coming up or bad things are known globally. We don't have the luxury because of these beautiful small machines called computers. There's nothing to hide. There's no excuse for not knowing something. There's no excuse for the lack of knowledge. The second thing is competitiveness. If you want to survive, you must compete. You must be better than the competition, and you must not only be better, you must make a profit in order to survive. The third thing is productivity. Productivity means that the resources you spend on per item production must be lower than the competition. The third one is social awareness and people. Companies have to be part of the society irrespective of the place they operate. They have to be part of the problems of the society. And we experience that heavily in our country. There's no use having a company making historic world profits, but operating in a country that is suffering, is staggering, and has problems. Therefore, the companies of the future have to be part of the society itself.
Thank you, Gregory. I'm sorry the time is pressing, so we have to proceed. Mr. Panayotakis, your company is also under pressure from all the environmental and sustainable energy politics. You are also on the record for having achieved one of the most promising and successful privatizations of Admir. Just a couple of weeks ago. You are also on the record for having to renew your power generation facilities, modernizing distribution networks. Perhaps last but not least, you are going to have to give up 50% of your retail market. So what's the future for PPC, for the, and what are the investment opportunities there?
Thank you, Mr. Pelekanos. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I am very pleased to participate once again in this important forum. As you perhaps most of you know, PPC is a vertically integrated company established in 1950 and supported in its organization and operation by the United States company Ebusco. In the extremely short period of 10 years in the 60s, it accomplished the whole country's electrification, a real miracle. Today, PPC is a corporation listed in Athens as well as in London stock exchanges and remains one of the largest investors in Greece. During the crisis, PPC Group invested close to 5 billion euros. This period, PPC is setting its strategy, taking into consideration two major factors. First, the European policy concerning the electricity sector. It, among others, consists of decarbonization concerning the whole economy, such as electricity production, but also transportation, heating and cooling of buildings, etc. Reduction of energy dependency and market integration by enhancing interconnections infrastructure, as well as setting uniform rules for the markets, operation, and renewables penetration, the so-called target model. Second, the framework which has been formed in Greece in the electricity sector through the memorandums with our debtors. According to this, first, PPC's retail market share is provisioned to decrease below 50% by the end of 2019 from 88% where it currently stands. Second, PPC's wholesale market share must be reduced and remain below 50% by the end of 2019. And third, IPTO, 100% PPC subsidiary, must be full ownership unbundled until the end of 2017. I underlined that to this end, PPC succeeded to sell the 24% of IPTO's equity in just 4 months, a big accomplishment itself. Next Friday, we will sign the sale contract with the Chinese company State Grid. Taking into account the aforementioned two major factors, PPC strategy going forwards in focusing on, first, decommissioning of old, low-efficient and environmentally not friendly lignite units. On the other hand, taking into account that for Greece, lignite remains a strategic fuel, contributing about 35% to the production mix, PPC is implementing a targeted CapEx plan for the renewal of the lignite units fleet. Second, acceleration of the implementation of renewables CapEx plan, aiming at a leading position in the industry. Third, investments in modernizing and increasing efficiency of the distribution network towards smart grid. Fourth, creation and sale of subsidiary companies with customers from all market segments to succeed a smooth opening up of the retail market instead of NOM model, which is a strong threat for PPC. Fifth, diversification of its business activities. PPC will be transformed to an energy, not only electricity supplier. And sixth, expansion in foreign markets. The main tools for success are the permanent presence of PPC in our neighbor countries through subsidiary companies such as in Albania, Bulgaria, and Turkey, and the joint venture with not only Greek but also foreign companies. I am concluding my remarks pointing out some important issues. First, within the context of European electricity market integration, regional markets will play an important role. PPC strategy is to become one of the leaders in the region of Balkans, given that it meets all the conditions needed. Second, Greece is very rich in renewables, so we have a very ambitious investment plan for photovoltaics, windmills, energy storage and hybrid stations, as well as geothermy, given the rich fields existing in some of the Greek islands. And third, the CO2 emissions of PPC from 34 million tons in 2014 will be reduced in less than 2,000 million tons in 2025. Thus, we will outperform by far the corresponding European targets.
Thank you very much for your comments. I'm sorry, but the time is really pressing.
I try to describe shortly the main issues. As I said on the beginning of my speech, it was an American company which supported PPC at its first steps. Today, I presented, as president, I invite American companies to invest in the electricity sector of Greece and, why not, make joint venture with PPC. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Escondrillas, I'm sorry, but you know, time is pressing. We are under directives also.
Understood.
So what comments can you offer on the DESFA episode?
Okay, well, I haven't been directly involved, but again, as obviously a spectator and being part of the situation in Greece generally, I would say that the TAP discussion, no, the importance of pipe as a, of TAP as a pipeline into Greece shows that Greece is in a strategic position for new sources of gas into Europe, not only for Azerbaijani gas, but also potentially other Middle Eastern gas like Iran. I think the minister also mentioned, for example, also Cyprus gas going into Greece or for potentially Israeli gas in the future. So I think the importance of Greece as a hub to bring new sources of gas into Europe is very important, no, to diversify the way from Russia and others. And in a way, DESFA, to me, is an important part of this. We have seen in the IPTO example that it's possible to bring foreign investors into Greece, like a State Grid has done. And we have seen in TAP also how SNAM, Fluxys, and Enagas have joined the project like TAP when it was halfway. So whilst maybe the initial DESFA privatization was done in a particularly difficult time for the Greek economy, I'm very confident that going forward people will appreciate even further the importance of Greece as a hub for new sources of gas into Europe, and therefore I think there'll be even more options now for a DESFA privatization than what was contemplated when the original privatization happened.
So we can view DESFA as a hiccup more than a terminal symptom of some sorts.
Yes, I think it's unfortunate that a transaction like that was announced and has lingered for so many years until it finally collapsed. But I do think it's a positive time within the resurgence of Greece to really contemplate options again.
Thank you, Arnaud. A final comment from you: what advice do you give to officials concerning pitfalls that should be avoided in future privatization and market liberalization transactions, projects which are going forward, where to look for money, collaborators?
Thank you. I would like to conclude this panel with some optimistic words, because as we heard since this morning, the macroeconomic situation is at its best for years. There are some challenges, but GDP growth is back, and we believe that there is appetite in the market. I mean, the success of this event shows that, and we have seen in recent months a lot of appetite from strategic and financial investors for Greece, not only in the energy sector, I mean, in general for the country, but of course some of the largest deals are in the energy sector. And we believe there will be some appetite. I mean, State Grid is an example, demonstrates that there is a strong push or appetite from Asia and China in particular for Europe. And we believe this is a trend that will continue in coming years. I mean, we should not clearly not underestimate the presence of Asian players in future privatizations. We believe also that some investors today still have some concerns, justified or not, about the regulatory environment or the political, macroeconomic environment. And institutions like EBRD, for instance, being present in some transactions can help to mitigate really these concerns. And so that being said, we believe that with the proper preparation, political support, and the right deal structure, we believe there is appetite today for Greece, and we expect that we will see more deals happen. I mean, this far was a pity, but we believe that some next transactions have a good chance to succeed.
So look towards institutional investors first, get their stamp of approval, and then go out into the open market.
That's possible, yeah, indeed. That's one way.
Okay, thank you. With that, we conclude. Thank you very much.